Welcome back to the Saturday Splash here on WGTK The Answer. We are joined, we mentioned previously that we were going to have some student scientists with us, and we have Rachel and Adam Engesser here, and they are both participating in the Adopt-A-Stream program. So welcome.
Thanks for having us.
We are happy to have you. So you're both high school students, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm actually a senior at Greenville High School.
Okay. And I'm a sophomore at Wade Hampton.
Okay, and at Wade Hampton High School, just a little plug for our mini grant situation. When Wade Hampton started with their Adopt-A-Stream program, they received a mini grant from the Soil and Water Conservation District.
Yeah, and the money from that's going to fund bacterial plates to continue our project on for the next few years.
See that? You too. If you have an environmental project, keep an eye out for mini grants, because you too could get one for your school or your educational endeavor. So you guys are both in Adopt-A-Stream. You're both participants?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct.
How'd you get involved?
Okay. Well, a few years ago, my family and I did a paddling trip in Georgia, actually, called Paddle Georgia. That was in 2005. And that's when I first heard about the Adopt-A-Stream program. So we were paddling along the Chattahoochee River with a whole bunch of other people like us, and they were doing water testing on the way. So that's when we just started talking with them, found out about the program. This is back in 2005. And then a few years ago, we got a lake house on Lake Cunningham. We started paddling there more regularly versus going around to different lakes in the area. And that's when we started thinking about what we should do next with our canoeing. And that's when we started thinking about maybe water monitoring, because we had heard about the program several years back in Georgia. And that's when we contacted Georgia Adopt-A-Stream and then talked to them about it. And since we're in South Carolina, we want to make sure that actually be compatible, and we could get trained over there and then bring the same program into South Carolina. And then that's how we got started.
Cool. And I will say that we've known the Engesser family previously. Y'all are pretty involved in conservation efforts, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Ever since we've been young, we've always been involved in citizen science initiatives. We had done a frog watch program with the Greenville Zoo, where we monitored frog calls at Lake Conesty. And then with the advent of Georgia Adopt-A-Stream, we decided to get involved in that. And ever since then, we've been involved.
That's great. And Frog Watch, P.S., stay tuned. Barbara Foster, who runs Frog Watch, will be joining us in the next segment. So we'll be talking about that a little bit more. So you're involved now. Now that South Carolina is going to have an Adopt-A-Stream program, y'all are working with that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. And you've been doing testing, and we hear that you found you had an interesting experience recently.
Yeah. So we had decided to pair together between the Wade Hampton and the Greenville teams to get together and do a little bit of a survey of all the streams across Greenville County. We had asked some people which streams they thought might have some bacterial issues, and we set up a bunch of sites, about 17, and all around Greenville County, and we found one that had elevated bacterial levels. And if you want to continue on with that.
Yeah, so basically from that point, we got our samples back. We went and resampled just to verify the results we had gotten. And then that's when we checked with SCDHEC and then got in contact with the appropriate local authorities to have them come out and actually test themselves to verify the results and then take care of the problem. And we found out there was actually a leaky sewer joint right by Mills Mill on Mills Avenue.
All right. So this was when you did your testing, that's what you found. You found high levels of what? What was the actual test?
We were testing for E. coli.
E. coli.
So yeah.
And you found high levels of E. coli. Then, as we mentioned before, you always want to test at least twice to make sure it's not just a random.
Yeah.
Issue. Because due to rain and such, you can have elevated levels just because of the water rushing through.
Sure, and it could have been some, like we said, somebody could have, you know, their dog could have gone in this,
exactly,
you know,
yeah, on yeah, 10 minutes before you went and sampled.
Right, you would never really know that. So you went. How many times did you guys test there?
We tested three times.
First,
the initial one, we just ran one bacterial plate. We went back and get it some investigative sampling up and down the stream to see if it was maybe affected by something that was further up that had gotten diluted, and if it was more concentrated further up. And we kind of narrowed it down to between one or two blocks, and we sampled a third time. And then once we got our results, then we contacted with DHEC.
So it's you're pretty much sleuthing, really, trying to figure out what the source is and where that's coming. But you don't do that yourselves. You rely on the appropriate authorities to do that.
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, like when we did our investigative stuff, we kind of try to narrow it down for them because they have obviously a lot of stuff on their plate. And it really helps out if we can, if they're going to especially walk the creek to try to find the impairment, if they can just go and search like a one block area versus having some high reading in the general vicinity.
So citizen science at work, and it's been cleaned up now, yes?
Correct. Yeah.
That is wonderful. So how did you guys get your schools involved in this? How did you convince your schools to do this?
Well, we each work independently with one of our science teachers. I work with Jamie Whitlock. She was my biology teacher last year. And she was really interested in the program, and she helped me read through my grants and applications. I had one from the Champions of the Environment, SED HEC, and then through the Soil and Water Conservation District mini grant, and then I got another one from the Greenville Zoo Conservation Fund. And all three of those have worked together to get chemical and bacterial supplies. And we've worked with my principal. My principal, Mr. Williams, has been really supportive of the program. He read through my grant report before I sent it in. He was excited to see what I had to do, everything like that.
Yeah, it's a very similar thing for me. Because my freshman year in high school, I approached my science teacher, Mr. Brett Fleming. And then that's when we applied for a grant through SED HEC called Champions of the Environment Grant. And that basically covered the cost of everything for 4 years for us. So we're still running on that initial money.
Sure. And how much, I mean, just so people know, what are the costs involved? What does the grant cover, and about how much do these testing supplies cost?
To initially get set up, it's probably around $700. Mm-hmm. That's for bacterial monitoring supplies, chemical monitoring supplies, macroinvertebrate monitoring supplies, and then the necessary reagents and plates for a little while. And then the grant that I got through SED HEC covered $2,000. So we were able to get some additional stuff and then cover the additional materials for several years.
Yeah, because once you get started, you do have to keep up with bacterial plates, which are about $100 per package. And you have to get those continually throughout the year as you use them up. And then also replacement reagents, which go out of date yearly.
And so is that all you're testing for in your schools is just bacterial?
I'm testing for bacterial and chemical, and at one site on the Brushy Creek feeder stream, and Adam is testing on several sites for both bacterial and chemical.
Great. And so how many students do we have involved in this?
At Greenville High, we've got about 10 or so coming in and out of the meetings, then going down to the streams after school, getting the samples, and then testing during lunch.
Yeah, it's about the same for Wade Hampton. We've reached a few students that I've met along the way. I've asked teachers who's interested, and a lot of people have come. They've been really enthusiastic about the program and getting involved as well.
And that's great. So you said people are getting enthusiastic at your school, and are you getting enthusiasm from other agencies and other local groups as well?
Yeah, so far I've been met with a lot of great support from organizations and my teachers and everything. Everyone's really rallied behind me and to support our citizen science initiatives. We've paired up with several universities, Southern Wesleyan and Anderson University. They've been really supportive of us. We've partnered with them for trainings and monitoring events. So we've really been building the connections between universities and the students, which is going to be beneficial for anyone who's involved in the future.
And also, we've had a great partnership with SED HEC and also the local city officials, because they've been very supportive of what we're doing.
That's wonderful. And are y'all certified as trainers?
Not trainers.
Not yet. Okay.
Not yet. Yeah.
But you're going to eventually.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're still in high school, I think you guys are doing exceptionally well just in high school. So how have the clubs and the projects, how does this impact like the students that are actually taking part in this? Are they getting more interested now in keeping our waters clean?
Oh yeah, at least for my experiences, several people have been more and more interested in environmental engineering specifically as a result of this somewhat, and then actually getting to talk with professors and things like that, because it just kind of helps them to get more of a real world perspective of what they're going to be doing.
And are there educational benefits, STEM, STEAM, any of that?
Yeah, definitely. By getting them involved in the hard sciences rather than just like in the classroom through a PowerPoint and through a video or something, they're actually out in the field testing, getting firsthand experience. And both our teams, we talked about trying to get other students leadership experience. So letting others do the titrations and such, letting them work on the sampling, try everything out, stuff like that. So they're really getting like firsthand experience.
That's awesome. Well, we've just got about another minute. I just wanted to, you guys are doing such a great job. Can you give some encouraging words to students about your age that might want to get involved? I mean, you guys are very inspiring. So what advice do you have for fellow students?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like if you're a freshman, go for it. Talk to your teachers, see what you can get started in your high school. Because especially when you reach that critical age, you have 4 years basically to sell yourself for colleges and to get everything ready to go and to build yourself up as a person. To prepare you for the rest of life. So that's what I would definitely encourage students to do.
Yeah, and I try to make a lasting impression on your teachers and really get involved. Don't just be in a classroom, you know, talk to them outside of school. If you have any interests, you never know what could lead you down a greater path, and go for it. Just like take initiative and do whatever you want to do.
So Adam, you're a senior. Yes?
That's correct.
Have we been accepted to college yet, or where have you applied?
I've been accepted to USC.
Good for you.
And I'm hoping to head to Harvard. I actually have an interview right after this.
Right after this. All right. Yeah. So everybody out there, cross your fingers. Thanks so much to Rachel and Adam. And we've enjoyed having you and learning all about Adopt-A-Stream and your project. And stay tuned. We'll be right back on the Saturday Splash.